We're going to be in Deuteronomy chapter 6 this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 6. I have a sermon on daily devotions to God. Daily devotions to God. Deuteronomy chapter 6. First, let's go and ask the Lord for His help. Father, I thank You again for the wonderful privilege You've allowed me to preach in Your church today. Lord, it's my desire to be used by You, to glorify You, to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, You continue to help, that the preaching would have power, as only You can give it, through the Holy Spirit of God. I pray, Lord, that You would open up the hearts and minds of each person here today. Lord, that we would be sure to hear the Word of God, to obey it, to apply it to our lives. We ask for Your help in all these things and ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting in verse 1, the Bible says, "Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear, therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Thank you. Please be seated. So these well-known verses of Scripture from Deuteronomy chapter 6 are a revelation from a holy God to His people. And what the Lord is revealing here is the importance of being completely devoted to Him. Completely devoted to Him. It is a great exhortation for daily devotion to God. All of our hearts have love, have loyalty, and devotion to different things. But the question is, are your devotions scriptural? Are they? What is it that is consuming all of your time, all of your attention, and all of your affection? Does it line up with the Bible? Is your standard a godly one that you not only preach and teach to your family, but also that you live it out before them? This is very important because the admonishment starts with each individual person. But when then we see that we are called to teach it to our children, to our children's children after applying it to our own lives. Now, the Bible teaches us that our devotion to the Lord is a commandment. It's a commandment. And it is not burdensome, is not grievous, because the Lord is worthy of all of our devotion. Amen? He's worthy of our love, our worship, our honor, and our praise. And like everything else the Lord requires of us, we see that simple obedience to God's word brings a great blessing and a benefit. It all starts with His word and with His law. Deuteronomy 6, verse 1, the Bible says, "Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it." This is pointing back to Deuteronomy chapter 5, where Moses is reminding the people how they received the Ten Commandments, and that the people feared the Lord. They feared Him greatly, and they agreed to obey Him. So what Moses says in Deuteronomy 5, If you look back at verse 27, the Bible tells us, "Go thou near and hear all that the Lord our God shall say, and speak thou unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee, and we will hear it and do it." So what was happening here? Well, this is the fear of the Lord in the people. They couldn't hear his voice anymore, and they sent Moses to go hear the command and bring it back. They were frightened. This is a fear of the Lord. I'm sure they were frightened to the point of death to hear the voice of God from the midst of the fire and from the cloud and the thick darkness that covered that whole mountain as it burned. But that fear was also a great reverence and respect. That's what the Lord requires from us as the one who can destroy both the body and the soul, but he's also seeking to bless and to protect us. Amen? In Deuteronomy 6, verse 2, the Bible says that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. And here is the blessing, that thy days may be prolonged. A proper fear of the Lord brings about love, devotion, obedience to his word. And that brings forth blessing and provision for us, our children, and our children's children. We also see this in the 128th Psalm. If you can turn there with me to Psalm 128. Psalm 128. The Bible tells us here, Psalm 128, the Bible says, "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel." That's what the Lord desired for his people. In verse 3 of our text, back in Deuteronomy 6:3, the Bible says, "Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey." So here in verse 3, before God gets to the promise, there's an important instruction that is attached to it. We are not only to hear the word of the Lord, but we are to observe to do it, to observe to do it. To hear God's word is a great blessing and it is a privilege. But if we do not apply it to our lives, if we do not observe to do it, then Jesus says this of us in Matthew 7:26, "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand." And we know that this man's house fell, and great was the fall of it. But when we hear and observe to do, our lives will be founded upon the solid rock of Christ. And we will be made to not only stand through any storm, but we see the blessing of our Lord that he has promised to us in Deuteronomy 6, verse 3. And God's word tells us to be hearers and doers of the word. Why? That it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God hath promised thee. There is always blessing attached to obedience. This is a godly principle between the Lord and his people. And there's also a biblical parallel between what we see in a parent-child relationship, as we see in Ephesians chapter 6. And please turn there with me to Ephesians 6, and we'll see some verses there. Ephesians chapter 6. The Bible tells us here in Ephesians 6, starting in verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Again, we see the same spiritual truth being reiterated. And this is found in the Ten Commandments as well. A child's obedience is not only right to the Lord, but it comes with a promise. A promise from God. It's a twofold promise. We find it both in the Old and New Testaments. Obey, that it may be well with thee. And this is just as true as disobedience will bring the Lord's chastening to the believer, and eventually God's wrath to the unbeliever. Now let's go back to our text in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and see the next few verses there. Starting in verse 4, Deuteronomy 6 verse 4, the Bible says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words, which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." These verses include a reinforcement of the commandment to be completely devoted to the Lord. And just like the Lord's other commandments, verse 5 says, "And thou shalt." Verse 6 continues with, "I command thee this day." And we see it again in verse 7, "And thou shalt." The Lord commands all of our love and devotion from all of our heart, soul, and might. And as our hearts are filled with obedience to His word, we can then diligently instruct our children in His ways, and we can do it without hypocrisy. The Lord Jesus Christ also taught this in Matthew 22. Please turn there with me. Matthew 22. Matthew 22, start with me in verse 34. The Bible says, "But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, 'Master, which is the great commandment in the law?' Jesus said unto him, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.'" So here we have the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is quoting from Deuteronomy 6 as the answer to the question, which is the great commandment? And Jesus called this the first and great commandment. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." And as Jesus did with other commandments, expounding on them and teaching deeper spiritual truths, he continued to expound on this commandment as well. Jesus continued to teach, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." And he called this the second greatest commandment, which is likened unto the first. And in verse 40, the Lord makes such a powerful statement about this. As he says in Matthew 22:40, "On these two commandments hang all the law and all the prophets." Very, very powerful statement by the Lord. And when we look at these two great commandments, we find there's a common thread that runs through them, and it is one of love. It is love. There's great importance to that, and I want to turn to 1 John chapter 4, where we will see that. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John 4, starting in verse 7, the Bible says, "Beloved, let us love one another, For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. So a true convert of Christ is going to love. He is going to love and devote himself to the Lord. And when he does, he will have love for others as well. This is the example that Jesus taught us, and he modeled it for us as well. Love and obedience. Love and obedience. Let's continue reading the next two verses of this chapter, verses 9 and 10. The Bible tells us here, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." So now the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the lawyers who tried to entrap Jesus did not have love for God. They did not have love for others. They had love for their false religion because it benefited their love for themselves. And Jesus said of men like this in Matthew 23 that their love was for the uppermost rooms at feasts. Their love was to be in the chief seats at the synagogues. Their love was to be greeted in the marketplace and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. This is not a Christ-like love. We, as saved people, are to be conformed to the image of Christ. And if we are truly saved, we forsake all for the Lord and love him more than anything else in this world. Anything else, amen? That is how God loved us. Romans 5, verse 8, the Bible tells us, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." This is how much God loves the lost. If we have the mind of Christ, we will have the same love for the souls of lost sinners. We are commanded to love our neighbor as ourself, both the saved and the lost. And again, our devotion to the Lord will lead us to love and to obey just as Jesus did for us. So let's consider the great love and obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ and turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. First, see with me verse 4. Philippians 2, verse 4. The Bible says, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." So we see again how we need to consider others. The focus should never be on self. Otherwise, we wind up serving our flesh. In verse 5, Philippians 2, verse 5, the Bible tells us here, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." What a verse this is. Paul is instructing us to have the same mind which was in the Lord Jesus Christ. What was the mind of the Lord? What is he speaking of here? Well, in Philippians chapter 2, the next verses tell us this. In Philippians 2, starting in verse 6, the Bible tells us of the mind of Christ, where it says, verse 6, "Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." These are such powerful scriptures. Powerful scriptures that our all-powerful Creator God taught us by example what is the perfect mind of God. It is the mind we are to have, the same mind, once we are saved by the spiritual birth. The Lord Jesus Christ was able to humble himself, to become a servant, and he was obedient to the will of the Heavenly Father. This obedience led to his death on the cross for the sins of the whole world, your sins and mine. This is the picture of God's selfless, amazing love, his great faithfulness, his devotion to us. Not only was the Lord devoted to us from the beginning, because remember, he was the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world, but he continues to be devoted to us, both the saved and the lost, to this very day. So do you have a true daily devotion to God? Do you love and appreciate him, what he has done? What does it mean for us to be fully devoted to God daily? Consider some simple definitions of just that word devotion. What does it mean? What does it mean when we apply it to our relationship with the Lord? Devotion defined, it could be called giving or appropriating by a vow. To be given over fully to. Are you given over fully to the Lord? Do you have that devotion for him? Another great definition is the state of being dedicated, of being consecrated, or solemnly set apart for a particular purpose. Amen? Another definition is to have a solemn attention to the Lord in worship, a yielding of your heart and your affections to God, with great reverence and faith in him, to be in prayer, to be in meditation, to have a devoutness. Do you have that devotion for our God? These things are to be part of our daily living. It is our lifestyle when we are saved. Because when we are converted, Jesus Christ will be in his proper place as both Lord and Savior of our lives. And we become fully devoted and fully dedicated to him above all. Why? Quite simply, Jesus said to us in John 14:15, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. And one of them is to have all our love, obedience, and devotion to him. Amen? Remember, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God the Father gave us Jesus Christ. He gave to us God the Son. And Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. He endured it for you and for me. Why? Because of his great devotion, his great love, and his great obedience to his Heavenly Father. And also because of his great grace and his love and his mercy, which has been extended to all men. It is because of this, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, that we love him because he first loved us, that we would obey his commandments and be fully devoted to our God each and every day, because we, as saved people, must live according to the scriptures. All the things we are told in the scriptures, we are to put on the humble mind of the Lord Jesus Christ daily. Amen? We are told not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to. We are told to esteem others better than ourselves. We are told to seek to serve others. We are told, love not the world and the things of the world. We are told to pray without ceasing, and into everything give thanks. We are told to think on things that are true, just, pure, lovely. These are all the things that we are to be putting into our mind from our Bible. We are to think biblically. Why? Because our devotion, love, and obedience to the Lord and his word will get everything else in its proper place within our lives. The Lord's blessing always follows obedience. Obedience to his word. The Lord is faithful and devoted to his people. But even now, in the season of God's grace, he's also faithful and still devoted to the lost unto salvation. Let's see a couple of scriptures for both. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9, Deuteronomy 7, verse 9, we have a great, great verse for the saved. Deuteronomy 7, verse 9, the Bible tells us, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. That's God's love and devotion still for saved people. And please turn with me to 2 Peter now too. And we still see in God's grace His love and devotion to the lost in 2 Peter chapter 3. In 2 Peter chapter 3, concerning the return of the Lord, the Bible tells us here, verse 9, 2 Peter 3, 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." All should come to repentance. And what a loving, faithful, and devoted God, full of grace and compassion for His creation. The Lord has such enduring patience for us all, waiting for each one to come to repentance. We are all His creation, and our purpose is to know Him and to worship Him. The truth is, you were created by Him and for Him, according to Colossians 1:16. And that is true for both the saved and the lost. But what a tragedy it is for the lost person that continues to reject the love, the mercy, and so great a salvation from God, their Creator. What is the benefit to rejecting the Lord? Have you ever considered that? You have nothing. You have nothing without Christ. You are dead spiritually. You are dying physically. And you are headed towards eternal death and separation from God. There is no such thing as a prosperous sinner in eternity. Where do your devotions lie if not with Christ? What will your end be without the Lord? You know, if you are here today and you've been blessed with the Lord's salvation, I would ask, are you fully devoted to Him today? The saved can still get distracted by doing even honorable things. We can sacrifice proper daily devotions to the Lord because we are committed to good things. Things like our family, maybe things like our business, our career, perhaps even with serving others. We also may be distracted by useless hobbies, interests such as sports and entertainment of all kinds. Whatever it is that we enjoy doing in this life, maybe it's higher learning. Maybe it's furthering our education. And there is nothing inherently wrong with any of these things, but they are not to become an idol in our life, and they are not to take preeminence above God. They must not become idols. So we need to ask ourselves, where is our devotion? And also, what are our priorities? Matthew 6:33 tells us, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." This is what the Bible teaches us, and it can be difficult at times to simply trust and obey it. We cannot let the cares of this world steal our devotion away from God. Our motives can be pure, but they can still be wrong. It is not profitable for us to be devoted to providing for ourselves and our families with necessary things of the world at the cost of sacrificing our devotion to Jesus Christ. The Lord instructs us to seek Him first, because when we trust Him in this, He shall take care of all our other needs. We need to be faithful and devoted to Him first. Amen? To Christ first over all other things. The Lord Jesus Christ must come first in our daily lives, not just the Lord's day, every single day. So what are some of the ways we can be devoted to the Lord? How can we live in daily devotion to God? The obvious place to start is to be devoted daily to the reading of God's Word and consider some scriptures on the Word of God and the importance that it has in our lives. In Matthew 4:4, Jesus said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." We also have these great verses from Psalm 119. You don't have to turn there. Psalm 119, verse 11. The Bible tells us, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." In same chapter, verse 16, the Bible says, "I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word." God's words are spirit and they are life. They have power to save. They wash over us and they sanctify and cleanse us. They are eternal. They shall never pass away. We need our daily bread of God's word. We need to read it. We need to memorize it. And we need to meditate on it day and night. And we must practice it. Another critical component of our daily devotion to God is through prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 instructs us very simply, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. And in Psalm 55:17, the Bible says, "Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." We have another great verse from 1 Peter 3:12. The Bible tells us, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." So we recently have been studying the Sermon on the Mount in Sunday school, Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus taught his disciples to pray, and he instructed them with these terms, "When thou prayest, but when ye pray, after this manner, therefore, pray ye." And it was not if you pray. Maybe you will pray at some time. Maybe you can find it in your own heart to have a little time for the Lord in prayer. This was a command of Christ, when ye pray. And again, the Lord led by example, because Jesus was in constant prayer and communication with the Heavenly Father. And if the Lord Jesus Christ needed constant prayer and communication with the Father, how much more do we need to be in prayer? We're familiar with James 5:16, the end of that verse that says, "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." And we see throughout the entire Bible the examples of devout men that were persistent in prayer. Prophets like Samuel and Daniel, they committed to prayer and seeking the Lord first. For us to be in constant prayer is to be constantly abiding in the Lord. It helps us to know him better and strengthens our relationship with him. And I would tell you, do not underestimate the importance of prayer in your daily devotions. Excuse me. Another way we can commit ourselves to daily devotion to God is through our worship of him, our worship. In Psalm 138, verses 1 and 2, these are great verses on worship for the Lord. Psalm 138, 1 and 2. Here the Bible says, "I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." In John chapter 4, Jesus taught this. In John 4, starting in verse 23, the Lord said, "But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. It's very important to keep our worship pure with good, God-glorifying hymns that are filled with spiritual truths and sound doctrine. That is what we have in our hymnals. They're almost like mini sermons. Music that is filled with biblical truth and sound doctrine. And coming from other churches, I can tell you this, that the modern worship of what's called Christian contemporary music glorifies man and not God. So much of it is nothing more than rock music with pseudo-Christian lyrics. And it's not even good rock music. Not that there is anything, but what goes on in churches is pathetic. It's such an offense to God. Don't be deceived by it. Don't partake in it, okay? This is not a form of worship that's pleasing to the Lord. And 1 Chronicles 16:29 says, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." Amen. Another way we can be devoted to God daily is with the first fruits of everything in our lives. The first fruit of everything. This is not just with our money and biblical tithing, although we are called to do that, but with all of our time, with our talents, with our possessions, anything that the Lord has blessed us is an increase with. In Proverbs chapter 3, 9 and 10, Proverbs 3, 9 and 10, the Bible tells us to honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. The Lord already owns everything. Amen? Including our very lives. Any blessing he entrusts to us is to be managed properly. Amen? We are to be good stewards of all our blessings. This will be called before the Lord one day to give an account. 1 John 3:17, we also see, "But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" And this goes back to what we saw earlier. Loving God, loving others, caring for the needs of others. This is something else that a believer will practice naturally as a result of daily devotion to God. Now, there's one last act of devotion to the Lord that we're going to consider, and that is our devotion to the New Testament church for which he died. In Exodus 20, verse 8, one of the Ten Commandments tells us, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now, there is a fallacy among professing Christians that they do not need to be faithful and devoted to church attendance. The Bible instructs us in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. We need to be committed to the assembly of the saints in corporate worship, in fellowship, in the studying of the word, in hearing the preaching, and in carrying out the Great Commission. This is the charge our Lord gave us and is to be carried out within the local visible assembly, the Lord's church. Make sure you're in the Lord's church. Maintaining daily devotion to God is, again, a commandment. It's not a suggestion. We must abide in the true vine of the Lord Jesus Christ because we know, and if we know him, we know we can do nothing without him. It is about our love and our obedience to Christ. When we are faithful to do it, the Lord's blessing will follow. This is a godly principle. It's a promise from the Word of God. So let's all be encouraged to purpose to renew a life of daily devotion to God. He is worthy, And we should all run our race. Every saved person here should be striving for the incorruptible crown. Can you imagine to one day hear the words from our Lord, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That's where I want to be. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand on our feet.